Welcome, everybody, to Cast of the Champions, episode number 2. I am your host, Mike, here once again, 2 weeks later, almost 2 weeks later. I've been kind of busy over the last couple weeks and haven't had a chance to really sit down and not only just watch the shows, but, you know, just to do anything, really. I've been working so much. You know, I don't know if I said it before, I live about an hour and a half away from where I actually work. So every little chance I get home and spend some time with the family, that's what I've been doing. So kind of neglected a little bit. Did watch wrestling. Went back, watched some of the old shows last week. And so I'm going to talk about them today. First off, just want to put my Twitter out there. It's Mike Spiesman, MikeSpiesman, one word. You can also go to Facebook.com/Cast of the Champions. I got my own Facebook page up there. Got a couple likes on there, so go ahead and check it out. I did post my TLC results, which I was 5-for-7. They did add 2 shows on me there at the two matches there that as it was going on, I kind of predicted them and got them both wrong. So I guess it doesn't really matter though. But pre-show, I was 5-for-7. I would have been 6-for-7, but I changed my AJ prediction at the last minute because of the incident that happened with her at the Tribute to the Troops thing. That was kind of in the news for a little bit there, which I guess was blown out of proportion, but, you know, that is what it is. Before I get into the show, I'm just going to throw another little thing out there. Make sure you guys go out and check out the NitroCast. You go to Facebook.com/NitroCast. Also, you could just search NitroCast on Stitcher, you know, Podomatic, iTunes, and check out Paul's a show there. I listen to it every week. Just because it brings me right back to the Nitro time. It was to Nitro and the NWO, especially now he's in the NWO phase. So it's really cool. So go check that show out. It's a good listen. What I'm going to hit on this week is last week's Raw and SmackDown, and talk about my TLC predictions, and then talk actually about the TLC show. I didn't watch all of it. I really didn't see myself wanting to pay $55 for really what was billed as a one match show. Granted, CM Punk and Shield can put on good matches and Daniel Bryan, but like I said on my last show, I just do not like the idea of handicap matches on a pay per view, especially a pay per view that was billed for such a big deal. You know, the unification of the champions, as Paul says, one champion to rule them all. But I'll talk about my prediction after I get done with these two shows. So it was, I'll get to that in a minute. So first off, I'll talk about Raw. It was the Slammy edition of Raw, their yearly show of the Slammies. And every year they make up different awards for the Slammies, and I'll talk about that throughout this analyzing of the show. We'll get started. They kicked off Raw with before I forget, this is actually the December 9th edition of Monday Night Raw. They started an intro package for the Slammies, and that came off like they really just like a real award show. You had Michael Cole and JBL out there wearing tuxes and the bow ties and everything, and then the hosts end up being Booker T and the King. So they really brought this off as like a real award show, with the exception of the stupid the way they change and add dumb awards every year. But you know, the show kicks off. Of course, it's a Cole plugging the how to download the app. Like, we don't fucking know how to do it now. It's already been going on for months. You just get annoyed seeing the same thing every week about the app reference. After that, Daniel Bryan comes out to a huge pop because the show is in Seattle, Washington, and he's from Aberdeen, Washington. So it was a pretty good pop that he came out to. And his matchup was against Fandango, and who was brought out by Summer Rae, who is super, super hot. Unless she talks, and you don't even want to listen to her. He came out for the match, and this was a build-up because they were both nominated for a fan participation Slammy for the Fandangoing and the Yes 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 chants. So it was a great crowd for Bryan. They were really into it for him. You know, just a really good match. Fandango's really good. I think the Fandango character is kind of played out, and Johnny Curtis is a good wrestler. But to me, this is just a dead end gimmick for him. It was cool at first because, you know, that show after WrestleMania really put Fandango on the map, but it died down like crazy since then. A couple good spots in this match. Fandango countered a missile dropkick into a powerbomb, which just came off on TV. Really awesome. There was another spot, though, in there where Daniel Bryan was doing his kicks, and he kicked Fandango in the head and totally whiffed on the kick, and Fandango just sold it. That just kind of... It jumped out to me. It was just kind of funny. Daniel Bryan did his flying headbutt, and every time I see it, I think of Benoit. He does it just like Benoit does it. And then Bryan won the match after an eat of the face. After it, Bray Wyatt did a tape promo on the Titantron. He's growing impatient and wants to help Bryan by having him join them. They say they will hurt him. And he says that Daniel Bryan is a monster, like him, and he wants him to join him. After they cut out of the video, you have Daniel Bryan gets the crowd to chant, no, no, no. So, just Wade Bryant doing his promo, which he's really good at, and of course, Bryan got the crowd into it. So, after this, we get another app reference, of course. Then we go to King... and Booker. They introduce the New Age Outlaws, and they come out dressed like Dumb and Dumber, which would have been totally funny if it wasn't done by Bad Influence, what, a month ago on Impact Wrestling? All I can think of is, what the fuck? I mean, come on. It would have been fun. They didn't even do the dumb little references that those two did, but whatever. They came out to do the LOL moment of the year. So they had a couple of funny things in there. But then this is where it got kind of stupid and why the Slammy Awards, this, the whole show, until the end, we'll get that, how it just kind of came off really dumb. Because they would come out, the presenter would come out, say who is nominated for what the award was and what they're nominated for. Then they would go to commercial. They would introduce one of the participants for a match and come back from the match, and you automatically, almost every time, got a jobber entrance by one of the wrestlers in the ring. And then they would go present the award, let them do their acceptance speech, and then go to the match, which to me, it just took away from who was in the ring, whether they're a jobber or not. They didn't really, it just, this whole, the whole way it formatted, this really came off wrong. Santino came out for the match. He got the jobber entrance, so we didn't really see him for this. I didn't get it. No. Santino came out for the match. Sorry, I was reading my notes wrong. Santino came out for the match. They went to commercial. Came back from the commercial, and Damian Sandow got the jobber entrance. Now, Sandow's a guy they've been modded sometimes here and there trying to build up, but yeah, he gets the jobber entrance. Didn't make no sense to me. So they show them in the ring. They go back. New Age Outlaws say that the LOL moment of the year was The Rock for The Rock Show, which was actually kind of funny about Vicky. That was pretty funny. Vicky comes out and accepts the award, kind of bashes the crowd, goes back. It was a pretty quick acceptance speech. Go back to the ring, and Big E's on commentary. Just kind of a sloppy match. It ends up with Santino bringing the Cobra out. He misses the little Cobra stupid strike he does. And then Sandow hits the "You're welcome" for the win. Big E then gets in the ring, kind of chest bumps Sandow, holds a bell up in the air, and we kind of get that little, you know, that little plug for their match at TLC. Next up, they introduce the Shield, introduce the next Slammy, and they're going to award the Double Cross of the Year. Dean had a line in there. He says, "Don't I look great?" I just thought that was funny. Reigns is starting to do the pro, is starting to introduce the award, and Roman Reigns is introducing the award, and Dean cuts him off, which has kind of played up the tension between those two. And then we go to Kofi Kingston coming out for his match after they show off who the nominees were. So Kobe comes out for his match, and we're getting right back into where I said I didn't like about the show. But another thing that showed about this one is, as we're going to commercial, they show a logo for the Slammy Awards, but it says 2012 Slammy Awards. So you're telling me this billionaire company cannot change at least the fucking number to show 2013 Slammy Awards? Just one of those things. They come back from commercial, and they go right to the awarding of the Slammy, and it is the double cross of Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan. He talks about how he wins a lot. He's won a lot of Slammys, but he's never won this one. And the thing I noticed about this is Shawn Michaels came off really heelish in this. Kind of like he did the night after he screwed Daniel Bryan out of the title when he got the Yes Lock put on him, which you automatically say they're building to him having a match. I'm still not really sold on the fact he's going to have a match, but he came off really heelish and how he thinks he's better than everybody. So then after he's done with his acceptance speech, we go to the ring. We find the Miz in the ring. Okay, so the Miz got the jobber entrance this time, which I said I'm a Miz fan. I don't mind the Miz. That's why I hate the fact that he's getting a shitty entrance. Kobe goes. Okay, it was a really short match. It ended when Kofi was about to hit the Trouble in Paradise, and Miz tries to leave. Kofi goes down and gets him, throws him back in the ring. As he gets in the ring, Miz rolls him up and pins him by holding his tights. Afterwards, Kofi kind of shows he's a sore loser and hits the Trouble in Paradise afterwards. And still in this feud, we're trying to figure out who's the heel and who's the face. So that's how that ends. Out next came Eve Torres to introduce the Diva of the Year. And it was great to see Eve. She looked fantastic. She cut her hair. She just looked sexy as hell. But she looked really good. So she introduces the nominees for that. And then we go to Rey Mysterio coming out to the ring. So one of the cool things I saw there, right before they introduced Rey, they showed a fan holding a customized Rey Mysterio Seattle Seahawks jersey. For one thing, I'm not a Seahawks fan at all. I thought it was pretty cool. And the guy gave the jersey to Rey Mysterio. And Rey got in the ring and was showing it off, and, you know, cheap pop for the crowd. So, another thing about this Raw. I didn't watch it live. I watched the last segment live because I was watching my team get smoked on Monday Night Football. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and they got smoked by the Bears. So actually, I ended up watching the show from start to finish later on in the week, actually Friday. And I had my notes for the podcast, but I didn't get to it that weekend. So, when they come back from commercial, they also show that there's going to be an accession ceremony for the two belts later on at the end of the night. So that's going to be a pretty good segment. We'll get to that later. Come back from commercial, and Eve presents the Slammy of the Diva of the Year to the Bella Twins. The crowd booed this like crazy. It was horrible how bad they booed these, which is funny how much they cheer for Daniel Bryan, but his fiance gets booed like crazy. Because I said it before on my last podcast, I am not an AJ Lee fan, but you know, the fact of the matter is she was the Diva of the Year. She held the belt pretty much the entire year. She got more reactions than anybody. As much as I don't like her, I mean, she's kind of out there, but how she didn't win, you know. And the whole thing comes down to the voting for the Slammys went down live as it was going on. According to everything I read, all the dirt sheets afterwards, they said these votes were legit. So it just shows you these things are a popularity contest. I think if you're going to have a real awards ceremony, and I feel the same way for Pro Bowls and everything, and football and baseball, you know, all-star games and everything, it needs to be done by the people who know what the hell they're talking about. Not an app when every little 10-year-old has their own cell phone. They download the app and they get to vote for John Cena a million times. Or the Bellas because they're faces now. You know, it was very seldom that you saw a heel actually win an award that wasn't all heels that were nominated for it. So that's my whole little thing. You know, you get those little kids when they're cell phones, which is ridiculous as it is, but it's true. Little kids have cell phones now. Anyway, so we get done with that. The Bellas accept their award. They get booed. Get their stupid little promo. I don't like the Bellas either, in case you couldn't tell. Up next is an 8-man tag match. It's a Big Show, Mysterio, and the Rhodes Brothers versus Rybacksel and the Real Americans. thing I noticed about this is the first time, like I said, I didn't really watch TLC. It was, like I said, it was off and on. I watched highlights later because, like I said, I wasn't going to put that money into it. This is the first time I actually saw Ray in the ring. And God damn, did he get fat. You know, my buddy Paul on his podcast talked about how Ray, new Ray, ate old Ray. And he was a fat fuck. this kind of shows you about kayfabe in wrestling. You know, wasn't Rey Mysterio the one that broke Cody Rhodes' face a couple years ago when he was wearing that ridiculous mask? And other tag team partners. You know, just one of those things. You know, I know it's wrestling and entertainment, but that, to me, that stuff like that kind of drives me nuts. During this match, before commercial, JBL is just, and this just goes into how horrible the announcers really are, especially JBL. He goes before a commercial. JBL talks about how he takes credit for the Ryback's old name. They come back from commercial, and he says he hates the name. He doesn't know who came up with it. Like, he doesn't remember. He was the one that even said it. Because it was on their show the previous week that he's the one that Ryback's old. I just think the announcers are annoying. If I could just go back to JR and the King in there, I would be perfectly fine with that. During the match, Goldust gets trapped in the ring. And finally hits a double, you know, so the heel team is beating him down. He finally gets a double DDT to the Real Americans, and then he gets a hot tag to Cody. Cody does a great moonsault, and like he said, I mentioned last week, Cody does a great moonsault, and hit that in there. Big Show has the worst spear I've ever seen in wrestling. It is just horrible. I don't know why he does it. He just basically it's a shoulder block where the guy just bounces off him. Not like Roman Reigns, who just looks like he completely destroys the guy he spears. But not only did Big Show start spear, he speared every member of the heel team, two of them at the same time at one point. It just looks horrible. Ray hits a 619, hits a splash for the win on Axel, and then I put a comment here: faces hug. I didn't understand that because I thought they were in the match, but I didn't realize the match. Because, like I said, I watched this later on in the week. I didn't realize the match was put on later on after SmackDown. So, that was my bad. And then we get a how to install the app reference again. Out next, Booker and King intro HBK to introduce Superstar of the Year. As far as I can remember, all these Slammies, every year the same guy wins. It's always John Cena. But I have a hope this time it's going to be Daniel Bryan. HBK comes out, and during his little promo to introduce the stars, the guys nominated for Superstar of the Year, he sounds very heelish, very cocky about how great he was. We go through the nominees. I didn't write down the nominees, but off the top of my head, I know John Cena, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk was in there, Randy Orton, and the one that didn't make no sense to me was Brock Lesnar, who, if I remember right, was only in about 3 months of TV for the year, so it must have been his contract that he was at least nominated. So he doesn't win, but I was glad for that, because that would have been ridiculous if Brock Lesnar won for three. That's like having The Rock come out and having The Rock win Superstar of the Year. It would have been just totally fucking ignorant. So then we have Sin Cara Hunico out. I call him Sin Hunico because it's Hunico dressed as Sin Cara. They go to commercial, come back commercial, and they show a nice still of Nelson Mandela in memory of. That was pretty cool, the WWE to do that. Nelson Mandela was a great man, so that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get into him, but I thought that was cool they acknowledged that. The Slammy winner is Daniel Bryan. I did say here that I hope they do an HBK versus Daniel Bryan match. I don't think it's going to happen. Part of me just doesn't see Shawn Michaels getting back in the ring again, even if it is a one-off match. I hope I'm wrong, because I'd like to see that match. But, like I said, I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. Let's see where I lost my train of thought. Error. Okay. During Bryan's acceptance speech, he says 2014 will be better than his 2013, which I hope they're right. He also finished off with a go Seahawks. Fuck the Seahawks. Del Rio comes out for the match. He didn't get the no jobber entrance this time. It's the only time I remember that they did not get the jobber entrance for the second combatant of a match. So he comes out for his match against Sin Cara Hunico. During this match, it was just a sloppy, ugly match. It just seems like Del Rio's not even trying anymore. He's not involved in a world title anymore. He's just not trying. So the crowd starts doing the little chants. One chant they did was Russell Wilson MVP. Yeah, right. Sorry, your defense carrying you to probably the Super Bowl, but whatever. And then I remember reading about this match because I said I watched it later in the week that Del Rio suffered a concussion during this match. So when I'm watching this, I'm really looking for the spots that really he hit his head on the mat. So that's what I kept watching for. And right near the beginning of the match, he went for a middle rope leg drop that he missed, and the way his head just whiplashed against the mat. To me, I originally thought that was it, he kept on doing headbutts throughout, and there was another time where he did slam his head on the ground again. So it's probably the original, just a combination of all the head trauma he took in this match, because he hit his head a lot, so it's hard to pinpoint exactly where he got it. It was pretty bad. I can see how he got it. There was another app reference on this during the match as well, by the way. Sin Cara hit a modified angle slam at one point. It's a pretty good spot there. It looked like an angle slam. I'm not calling exactly what it was, but it kind of came off like that. Then he did hit a really nasty power bomb on Pedro Del Rio, which I think that was the coup de grace on getting him his concussion, because that was pretty nasty. Then he hit the Swanton Bomb for the win. Sin Cara again wins, and we're going to see Pearl Del Rio just fall further, maybe because of his attitude. He comes off like he doesn't want to try anymore. Next up is Primetime Players to present the Fan Participation Slammy. They don't go to a match this time. They introduce the first. They talk about how they should, the millions of dollars and annoying thing should be nominated for that, which I think is stupid anyway. But they actually introduce the nominees, go to commercial, come back, and the slammy goes to Daniel Bryan. He comes out after commercial, does he gets another two slammies in a row. After that, tons of funk come out, and we go to commercial again, and then Xavier Woods gets the jobber entrance. This is a quick match. Brodus of Clay hit a huge powerbomb on Woods. It was just horrible. And then he hit a second rope splash for the win. Total squash match. Then afterwards, he beat him down, started dropping the elbow, and everybody got in the ring, tried to get him to stop beating him up. So, yeah, they're pushing the Brodus Clay heel turn pretty big here, which is good. That guy's got massive potential out for to be a heel. He could be a huge heel. Out next, Miz comes out to introduce the Slammy for Insult of the Year. One thing I did see during this, I acknowledged before AJ's promo, which was nominated for Insult of the Year. I remember how, when I watched that live on Raw a couple months ago, just how the Bella Twins, they were heels at that time too, they just ruined that promo. I mean, because AJ's talking and they're sitting on the outside. You know, and it's just one of those things, you just don't interrupt the promo, especially when it's about to be a big one like she had. And they're just sitting out there, oh, you're a loser, whatever, bitch, whatever. Whatever the hell they were saying, it was annoying. And you'd think they'd edit that out for this, but they didn't. So that just reminded me, that's one of the reasons I hate the Bella Twins. They just do not know how to do anything. They're getting better in the ring, but they just don't, I mean, we're getting Daniel Bryan and John Cena's girlfriends, you know, ran down our throats every freaking week. They introduced nominees. CM Punk comes out. I was like, what? So they're doing, went right back again to no job, to just doing the, to, here's the nominees. And then CM Punk, who's probably the second or third biggest star in the company right now, he comes out before the commercial. Come back for the commercial, and the Shield's in the ring during their, and they get the jobber entrance. So here's your faction of the year getting the worst entrance. Again, it didn't make sense to me. This whole show is just booked so fucking wrong. And they need to... I also saw during this, they showed a picture of the Shield versus CM Punk, and they really need to update their promo pics, because, like I said, I'm a tattoo guy. I got a lot of tattoos. But they showed Roman Reigns in here, and it was a picture of him from a year ago, because it was around January, February time frame last year that he got his total arm sleeve done as part of his, you know, his Samoan heritage. And this is a pick from a year ago. I mean, come on, guys. That's a noticeable difference. That's like doing Randy Orton, because Randy Orton, he got his tattoos done after he broke his collarbone while he's rehearsing that surgery. What if they use that picture again? It'd be the same fucking thing. This was a dumb award. I for one thing, Insult of the Year. I really didn't care who won. The slammy went to Stephanie. I hate Stephanie. I've said that before. She's annoying. I don't want her on TV. I don't want any of the McMahons on TV. I don't mind having Triple H on there as the guy, but Stephanie's annoying. My people think she's the best heel. She's so irritating. And then we get Dean Ambrose versus CM Punk again from it's the same match from SmackDown pretty much. Great match. Don't get me wrong. Great match. But why not? You know, he's gonna have a triple threat match. I don't know, a 3-on-1 handicap match. Pay per view. Why not get one of those other guys, like, you know, at least Seth Rollins in there? But I'm guessing this is going to the part that Dean is forcing his way, his leadership, saying he's going to be the one in these big matches. I don't know. I just didn't like the booking on that one. Really, another really good match between these two. These guys can work really good. There was one spot in there where he Dean countered a Punk off the top ropes with a knee to the ribs. It just came off really well. This also led Punk into selling a rib injury from the Roman Reigns spear from SmackDown the week prior. Dean throws Punk to the outside and distracts the ref, thinking that the Shield is going to beat up Punk. And all they do is just stare at him. Dean gets out of the ring and beat rates the entire Shield. The Shield just decides to leave. As they're walking to the back, Dean's like, "What the hell are you guys doing?" Whatever. And Punk comes up, hits him with the GTS for the win. Then the Shield comes back up, and Reigns hits Punk with a spear. And then they drag Dean out of the ring, and they go back up the into the crowd. So, like I said, good match. Another good ending. But this whole, you know, confliction you see in the Shield is part of my predictions. They're legit predictions. I had these predictions before the pay-per-view. I even put them on the Facebook page just to say that, you know, show that I was still here. And this was one I was really right on, so I'll get to that in a bit. We go back to Booker and the King, and they intro Mick Foley for the Extreme Moment of the Year. So, you know, that's a good guy to have. And so, you know, he was a hardcore legend. Why not have him out there? Okay, and they're showing all these extreme moments. The only one I could see on there that was extreme was Ryback putting Cena through the you know, the little stage setup they had there. So that one should win. You know, so they introduced the nominees. Usos come out for their, you know, for the match, of course, because, you know, you have to have them come out to segue into having people vote for who they want to win the thing. And I hate the Usos' entrance. I like them as a group. I just hate that little dance thing they do. I guess the main reason I hate it is because they do the dance, then they go into rap music. I hate rap music. But I mean, you're going to pay homage to your heritage. Stick with it. And then keep it like the Wild Samoans. They used to come out, and that was their music. They would come out to you know, the jungle music the whole time. You know, they wouldn't segue into a crappy rap music, but... So, you know, this is my little rant on that. They're back from commercial, and the Wyatt family's in the ring. Now, here is a group you're trying to build to pretty much take over for the Shield. That's going to happen. The Shield's going to break up, and the Wyatt family's going to be the big faction. But the Wyatt family got the jobber entrance. Makes less sense than it did for the Shield to get it. So, I didn't get that. The show just was not good for me. Punk wins a slammy for extreme moment when he beat up Paul Heyman with a kendo stick on top of the Hell in the Cell. And Punk fan, he should not have won this award. He came out and sells his rib injury. This is actually something I noticed. I want to mention it now because I don't mention it later. He's still selling his rib injury from the match and from the Roman Reigns spear. But you know, he's in the segment at the end of the show, which really has nothing to do with that, and he does not have a rib injury. So I don't know if that was just an oversight on everybody or what. I mean, Punk's a professional. He must have just completely forgot about it, that he should have been selling that, because he should have. Come back from... Then in the match, the Usos versus the Wyatts. It's a good spot. The Usos flying out of the ring on the Wyatts. The Usos do that. They fly all over the place. That's why I like them. I like their team. I just like their initial part of their entrance. They're really good. Harper hits a clothesline from hell for the Wyatts to win. And that's not the name of it. I didn't really catch what he's calling it, but it was a really nasty clothesline. And of course, you had JBL popping for a big time because that was his finisher. So, you know, that was a, you know, it wasn't a bad match. Usos need more ring time, but the tag team division in the WWE is actually looking better. I don't like how they keep throwing guys together to be tag teams. That's something I mean, I'll talk about a little bit later. But we go to King and Booker, and they introduce Bret Hart for Match of the Year. I don't remember if I said it last week, but Bret Hart is my all-time favorite wrestler. Even though he looks like an old indie woman right now. He looked okay. He actually looked better in, at this segment here than he did. He's done in a long time. So, but yeah, it was good to see him. He's presenting the Slammy for the Match of the Year. Natalya comes out for her intro, and of course she goes over and hugs Uncle Bret. So, you know, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like Natalya. She can wrestle. She's one of the divas that actually she can wrestle. She don't look good though. She looks like a man, but you know, to each their own. After commercial, Tamina and AJ's in the ring with an AJ annoyingly sitting on the rope. So Tamina and AJ get the jobber entrance. I just don't like AJ. She looks like she's trying too hard to be heel. I think maybe that's one of my problems. Besides that promo she cut before, she just looks like she's trying too hard to be a heel. So out of all these matches, there are some good matches nominated in there. The Slammy goes to The Rock and Cena. And that if anything for the night shows that this freaking voting is fucking retarded. It's that one. You know, that was not a great match. It wasn't a bad match. I mean, especially for The Rock, who only wrestled 3 matches last year. But it was just, why did that win? I mean, there was, it just didn't make sense to me. I mean, the CM Punk Undertaker match was the best match on that show, let alone some of the other matches that were nominated. So, and then when Cena came out to accept the award, I actually saw an adult in the crowd wearing John Cena gear. I'm like, wow, you're probably the only guy adult in the world that has that. So the Tamina and Natty actually they worked a pretty good match. But Tamina's kind of stuck in that shitty spot where she's the diesel to Shawn Michaels. So hopefully she breaks out of that soon. The match ended when Tamina swung Natalya into AJ and then Natalya put AJ in the sharpshooter for a win. I hate the fact that Natalya uses that sharpshooter. She doesn't even look right when she puts it on. No one really looks right when they put the sharpshooter on, unless you're Bret Hart. But there was a part where after she won the match, she got on the turnbuckle and she's pointing at Sky and she was saying Owen, which I thought was pretty cool, paying homage to Owen Hart, Uncle Owen. That was pretty cool. I'm sure his wife is gonna want to sue him now for that. But she actually does it again later on, I think in Raw the next week too. So now we see Triple H and Steph come out for that final segment. And we go to commercial, we come back, and they got 20 former champions in the ring. I forgot that Khali was a former world champion until I saw him in the ring. Like, what's he doing there? And yeah, that's right, he was a world champion. During this whole segment, and this is why I know a lot of people were predicting for TLC that some way Triple H was going to end up with a belt. One of the reasons I didn't think that was going to happen was, for this point exactly, Stephanie was overselling Triple H. So they're just making it too obvious that was not going to happen. To me, I mean, it was just kind of that reverse psychology thing. They're making it too obvious that it looked like Triple H was going to walk away with the belts. But, of course, you know, he didn't. But, to me, that's why I didn't think was... I actually have a whole page of notes for this final segment. That's how good it was. all right. I'll change page here. Triple H starts talking, and the crowd just starts going crazy for Daniel Bryan, a nice Bryan chant. And then they start doing the yes, yes chant. It was so loud that Triple H had to stop talking because he knew that people weren't going to be listening to him. It was really cool. But the Authority, they looked legitimately pissed. And he actually had a line, which was pretty fucking funny, where he said, that's a lot of family in for one building, Daniel. So they all look like you. I thought that was kind of funny. So Triple H talks a little bit, talks about the importance of the match, and then he intros Randy Orton. Then Stephanie introduces John Cena. They hand over their belts and hook the belts up to that little hook thing they have going on there. Orton gets on the mic, starts talking about how dangerous he is and how he beat HBK and Mick repeatedly, and how Bret wouldn't even need the Montreal Screwjob because he would have left him laying there. Crowd was chanting boring here because Randy Orton really came off. He started off really boring, and it got better. It kind of went into a better direction, I guess you could say. And then we go to John Cena. He starts talking, and then he goes over, and, you know, this is there's so much about this segment that I loved and hated. I liked the fact, but I also hated the fact that John Cena went and grabbed Daniel Bryan and brought him out to the ring. And brought him out to the middle and asked him who he was. So this is just Cena. He started talking about how he gave all these guys a shot, Dolph Ziggler and all these guys, and Daniel Bryan. And he said the only legit time that Daniel Bryan had a legit title shot was against him, and he beat him. Part of him, he asked Daniel Bryan, "Where are you from?" "Aberdeen, Washington." And then JBL makes a little comment, says, "Wherever that is." And this is just where it really seems like the Vince McMahon is not willing to accept Daniel Bryan as a main event guy. Because you know he whispered that to him. He's like, "We can't have him get over like this." But JBL, who was just a minute ago was applauding and loving the fact that the crowd's going crazy with Daniel Bryan, and all of a sudden he says, "Wherever that is." Just a little quip like that to try to demean Daniel Bryan a little bit. So that was annoying. Cena talks about how Orton was given all of his opportunities due to his upbringing. And again, like I said, how he gave every opponent in the ring, says Bryan will get a rematch if he wins. Shook his hand. Says he can be as brutal as Orton. And Cena, it was pretty good. He's put over a bunch of guys, but at the same time, it was good because he put over a bunch of guys, but it was kind of cheap because that's how he was getting his pops. That's the way I look at it. But so after that, they shake hands, and as they're raising the belt up to the sky, Orton cheap shots John Cena. They start brawling. All the champions in the ring start pulling apart, with the exception of Bret Hart, who got out of the ring because, you know, he can't take any kind of bump at all. And one point, CM Punk goes over, and he's trying to talk to Randy Orton, and Randy Orton pie faces him, pushes him back, and Punk gets in there and starts beating on Orton. Triple H comes over and very nastily throws CM Punk down. And of course, at this time, remember, CM Punk's rib is supposed to be injured. He's not selling rib injury. Then Punk goes over, hits, and he punches Triple H. And then out of nowhere, HBK hits Sweet Chin Music. And I gotta tell you this, dude, when I'm watching this, because I actually watched this Raw, because the Cowboys have already lost at this point, and I'm watching it. Well, they're losing. It was in the third quarter, and I pretty much turned the game off. But I was actually like a little kid yelling this. I'm like, "This is awesome!" As soon as HBK hit CM Punk with Sweet Chin Music, I'm thinking Daniel Bryan hit him with a knee. Just knew it was coming. And then you see the camera angle changes to behind Daniel Bryan, and he hits the knee on HBK. It was really awesome. And Randy Orton comes over and goes to hit the RKO, and Daniel Bryan pushes him. He pushes him into Stephanie. And Orton and Triple H check on Stephanie, and Triple H is pissed, and he pedigrees Randy Orton, and then he stands there with him and Kane as they're looking on at Orton, while in the background the crowd is chanting for Daniel Bryan. So that's how it ended. So really great segment. At the time, I was marking it like crazy. Excuse me. But the more I look over it, and I watch it a bunch of times, it was still pretty cool. It's just I don't know. It really set up. To me, they started selling WrestleMania really early, but at the same time, it was kind of cheap pops for John Cena and you look going that possible CM Punk versus Triple H match at WrestleMania, which I don't hope it happens, because I really have high hopes that CM Punk is facing Randy Orton for the title, because I want him to win the Royal Rumble. I really don't see anybody else winning the Royal Rumble. So, shit show. the way that this is the worst delivered slammies. They need to get away from this social media thing, because it's ruining. The right ones aren't winning. And I'm not the only one saying that. Yeah, Daniel Bryan deserved to win Superstar of the Year. Yeah, absolutely. But that was pretty much one of the few ones that did deserve the win. When you have, you know, the Bells winning. Why? Why were the Bells winning? Because they told us Divas bullshit, which is a boring, stupid-ass show. So, horrible show with a great ending. And this is the best way to put it. So, that was the end of the show. So then we'll go to SmackDown. And I have my notes on SmackDown were kind of quick. They show a replay of the final segment. And then the belts are over the ring. So my whole thing here is that they're just going to take the belts around and they raise it once, and it's just going to automatically transport. So I thought that was kind of annoying. Kind of took away from the actual sending it before the match starts. Daniel Bryan comes out for his match against Eric Rowan of the Wyatt family. It was a really quick match during it. Bray trips Bryan for the DQ. And Daniel Bryan did a really sneaky thing there where he avoided the beatdown and got out of the ring and took off. As he's getting out of the ring to avoid the beatdown, Bray is sitting in his rocking chair and he gets a knee to the face, so it came out really good. Just setting up the match, you know, giving Daniel Bryan a little bit of momentum for the pay per view match. Which this also showed me that he's not going to win. That's part of my predictions. You know, there's that whole whoever goes over at the end, the last couple of shows, is the one who's probably not going to win before the pay per view on the go home show. So, next out is the Real Americans. Zeb cuts a promo about Santa speaking Spanish. It's kind of funny, but you know, that gimmick is about dead. They need to let Swagger and Cesaro go their separate ways. And Cesaro's getting over too much, I think. So it's going to happen eventually. The Rhodes brother comes out. Cody hits a nice springboard to the outside. And this is a one-on-one match between Cody and Cesaro, I think. I can't read my notes that good. It was a tag team match, my bad. Cesaro wins with a nasty European uppercut and gets the win over Cody. We then show a video package of the title lineage. Evidently, like I said before, the title, the World Heavyweight title, goes all the way back to 1905, even though it all came together with Chris Jericho, who was the first Unified Champion. And they show Cena and Orton win their first heavyweight championship. So Cena beat JBL at WrestleMania 21, I want to say. And then they show Orton beating Chris Benoit. Oh, they show Chris Benoit's ass. They didn't show him actually winning the match. They just showed him covering him, and they didn't show his face. So that's probably the most Benoit you're going to get in AEW programming for the rest, not from now until the end of time. Bad news, Barrett's out. It says all voters that voted on the show are losers, and that he's awesome. I just hate that segment. I just hate the Bad News Barrett. Put him back in the ring, you know, being... you know, not the stupid, annoying heel doing his little segments, but just get him out there. Mark Henry comes out. He's going to face Damian Sandow. Big E's at commentary again. So evidently Big E's is the third commentator for most of the shows now. there's a part where Sandow counters a throw in the ring by Big E. Oh, yeah, Sandow gets out of the ring, and he wants to leave, but Big E throws him in the ring, and he gets out and escapes. And that's how it ended. That was it. It ended with Big E and Mark Henry standing in the ring. Just a shit match. Nothing really. Just filler match. That's all it is. That's my word for filler. It's a shit match, in case you all didn't realize it by now. Next out is the Bella Twins versus Tamina and AJ with Natalya on commentary. It was a stupid match. The Bellas tap out. Brie taps out to the Black Widow by AJ Yawn. It was a boring match. I don't even want to acknowledge it too much. They showed some of the semi winners. They talked about how it was a fan vote on who has the most devastating finisher, and John Cena's it won for most devastating finisher. A fan vote, of course, because John Cena appeals to little kids, and they have their little phones, and they vote for John Cena for the most devastating finisher for his glorified soup for the. Glorified Body Slam, that's what they call it, Glorified Body Slam. When you have those knees of the faces by CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, they look nastier. They look nasty. They're hard to, you know, the Body Slam is a bump that everyone takes. You fall backwards, you take a bump, you kick out. But John Cena does his little fucking AA, or the FU, which I prefer to call it until they got PG, that's supposed to end all the matches. You know, I hate that finisher. And the fact that it was the most devastating finisher was just ridiculous. Cena comes out for a promo. It was the opposite of his Raw promo, so it wasn't good at all. He called their Orton homie, so he starts to go back to his Thuganomic roots, and that was it. It was the opposite. It went back. John Cena has his moments where he's out there with a boring, stupid promo, or the one where on Raw where it was good and he helped. You know, he used people to help him get over, and that's what he does best. And this time it was just him by himself, boring the hell out of us. Shield comes out next, and we go to commercial. The Usos come out with their stupid entrance. They didn't get no jobber entrance. Anytime you could use a jobber entrance, that's one that could have one. Dean was on commentary. He said, don't be confused by our boyish good looks. Dean is money. That guy is the future of the company like crazy. So Rollins actually gets him up for, gets one of the Usos up for a GTS. But all he does is, like, he did the whole CM Punk, put him in the sleep thing, and then puts him up like he's going to do GTS, but he just throws him and Reigns hits a spear, and that's how they get the win. Then CM Punk comes on the Titantron, he does a promo from the basement. He goes, and he just kind of talks about how he's going to find a way to take them all down with him. He said, believe in the best in the world. Then we go to commercial. The Rybacksel got the jobber entrance. Then Ray and Big Show come in for a one-on-one versus Big Show versus one-on-one versus Ryback. Quick match, Show with a chokeslam win. Ray with a 619 on Axel. After this, we actually get the thing that they're going to have the four-way tag team title match. So Wade Bryant does a promo. He talks about being fooled by Daniel Bryan, that he will end Daniel Bryan at the TLC pay-per-view. Next match is Alberto Del Rio versus Kofi. But before Kofi gets in the ring, he gets attacked by The Miz, who is a skull crusher on the outside. So, no match. The final segment, which I believe is what it is Orton out to apologize to Triple H. And he wants to do it face-to-face. It was actually a really boring promo. Triple H kind of sat there and he wants to know if he accepts his apology and if they have faith in him. And Triple H ended up saying, we have faith in you. Good luck. You know, I just could not get into SmackDown, I guess, because I just got done watching a 3-hour Raw. So it was, you know, just a filler show. They need to get rid of SmackDown. Just make another, basically just turn into like a Saturday night or a Saturday morning, not the little kids one. I don't know, something like that. Something. It's just not, especially now there's only one title, then they need to do that. So now I'm going to talk about, before I get any further, I'm not going to do a TNA this week because I didn't watch last week's show. I watched a little bit of this week's show. I will go back. I haven't recorded. I will do it when I do my next podcast, which I'm going to try to get out. I have a lot of time coming off the next couple of weeks. We'll get a lot of time off in the Army for, during the holidays. So I'm going to make sure I do, I will get caught up so that I'm back to where the weeks are, especially because you got the Tribute to the Troop show coming up. That's one I always like because I'm a troop. So I've never got a chance to see one of those, but they're really cool. Next, I'll talk real quick about my TLC predictions. The kickoff show, Ziggler and Fandango. I picked Ziggler to win. Ended up being Ziggler didn't win. Fandango got the win. I didn't catch the match. Again, I was actually thinking about trying to bootleg TLC online. But again, something happened. I had a significant emotional event that day. Where I was, it was football Sunday, and the Cowboys blew a 26-3 lead. And by the time that game was over, is when the pay-per-view was about to begin. I did not want to get up, get on my computer. I just wanted to sit there and sulk in my worry. Oh man, I just, so y'all know, I'm a huge fan of the Cowboys, and I throw fits when they lose, especially when they lose as bad as they did that day. So, it was pretty sick. I was really pissed off about it. Still pissed off about it, but they could somehow find a chance to win out and get in the playoffs, and then they can lose to the Carolina or San Francisco, whatever it is. All right, so I talked about the kickoff show. The tag team four-way match between the Rhodes Brothers and Rybacksel, Big Show, and Mysterio, and the Real Americans. I picked the Rhodes family to win it. I guess it was actually an elimination match, so that's good. They need to be like that. Any four-way matches need to be like that. And the Rose family end up getting the win, so I'm so far 1-for-2. And then the Big E match versus Sandow for the Intercontinental title. I picked Big E to win. He won the match. AJ versus Natalya. Now, here, I wrote this down before the Tribute to the Troops thing. There's a thing on there about how she got into some argument with some NBC reporter, Michelle Beadle or some whatever her name, because she was talking to her boyfriend, who's CM Punk. And she went crazy on her, and I guess it embarrassed the company. So I heard that, and I thought, okay, well, I changed my prediction from AJ to Natalya to try to get the belt out of her. But then I ended up reading the actual story, which it sounded like that Michelle chick was actually hitting on CM Punk, and Punk went back and told her about it, and she went over and defended her boyfriend. So, you know, I don't like AJ, but shit, if someone's hitting on your boyfriend who knows that it's your boyfriend, yeah, it's fucked up. So I don't blame her for that. So, but she ended up getting the win. I said, I didn't see these matches. I will get the. I'll actually watch them when they come out on DVD. I'll check them out. Now we get to the horrible freaking matches that you said. Oh, you know what? No, before I do that, there was two added matches back to back on the show because I was following it on Twitter. The CM Punk match was actually the first match of the show. I'll talk about that in a second. But the added Kofi Kingston versus The Miz, a nose qualification match, and Kofi wins. And I could guess was a shit match when I heard. R-Truth defeated Brodus Clay, and I guess the Funkadactyls and Tenzai or Big T, whatever, they walked out on him. And it kind of sets up what happens on Raw, and I'll get that in the next podcast. So those are the two matches. I actually I picked those wrong because as they're as I found it on Twitter, they announced them. I picked The Miz and I picked Brodus both to win. Near one of them won, but I'm not gonna count that because that was added to the card. Now the three real main events, even though one of them opened up, was Punk and Shield. I picked Punk to win. I didn't think that both of the one-on-three matches was gonna end up with the team of three winning, and it just seemed like more sense that they show too much of the Shield breaking up, and for the Wyatts to lose would make them look weak. So I picked Punk to beat the Shield, and pretty much the way that it happened, I didn't know. I guess there was an eye injury or something that Reigns did, and he accidentally Shield Ambrose. So, which that's a good way to do it because it gives them the Shield a little more time together as a group before they inevitably break them up. Because I'm guessing that that's gonna be a WrestleMania match. It's gonna be Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, and then the Wyatts beat Daniel Bryan. You know, it was kind of a creepy picture of him. Of Bray Wyatt holding Daniel Bryan's head in his arms, and it looked like he beheaded him. Kind of creepy looking. And then the Cena vs. Orton match. All the talk about one of them's going to grab the other's title, and they're just going to switch titles, or Triple H is going to get it, or something. I was one of the few people that actually said, I think there's going to be no swerve because they made it too obvious that they were trying to make it look like that. And I picked Orton to win, and he won. And it was besides the handcuff thing, it was clean. I mean, you know, TLC match. All a TLC match is a ladder match. Because in a ladder match, you could use tables and chairs. And it, from what I heard, it was a pretty decent match. It was just a hardcore match. not worth buying the pay-per-view for. None of it was really worth buying from what I heard. I really can't say totally because I didn't watch it. Hey, you know, it was just... I have to mention, like I said, I was pissed off already. Two losses in a row. Or that one they shouldn't have taken the Cowboys, but I will buy the Royal Rumble next month because I always pay for at least two pay-per-views a year. That's Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and then if there's any other ones with really good cards, like a couple years ago the Survivor Series with The Rock, I end up buying that one. Other than that, I'll try to bootleg it online, and I'm never really good at finding them because the WWE is pretty good at monitoring those and get them offline. Excuse me. So. But yeah, that's pretty much it. About that was last week's. Sorry, I'm just catching up again. Sorry it took me so long. I'm hoping people can get on here and listen to it. If not, it's cool. It's just fun for me to, you know, kill some time and do something like this. Because I work so damn much in my job and to get some time to myself to do this. And, you know, when I'm on the road so much, that's when I listen to podcasts. While I'm talking about podcasts, though, don't forget, NitroCast, Paul Sweats, sorry, there's last name in there, but is a look into the old shows of WCW, the Nitro era. It's a good listen. You know, you get a good perspective. He even talks a little bit about the current product, kind of stepping on my dick a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is. It's a really good listen. He talks about the ratings and everything. And in this week's show, he actually talked about the Raw they did there, and it sounds like a total shit Raw. So, and he gives me a shout out every week, which I appreciate. So make sure you go check that out. Pause my BFF, show him some love, show me some love. Shit. I got a lot of friends who go on there and they like my page. I don't know if they're actually listening to it or not. It'd be cool. You don't like my opinion, just to hear another opinion. Hey, it's fine. But I like this podcasting thing. I might actually branch out and do one on just kind of like a Chris Jericho one, you know, to talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. You get a chance to download Chris Jericho's podcast. They're really good if you're not doing it already. And Steve Austin's. They guys do great interviews with whoever they're talking to. I think that's about it. you know, don't forget, go to the Facebook page. I'm going to try to put more matches on there as they become available. You know, I'm going to start doing a match of the week. I'll put one on there this week, this week's match of the week, because I'm going to hit it on next week's show. But the main event from Raw, great match between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Really didn't care for the ending, but, you know, that was a definitely match of the year candidate, for, and it was better than what some of the matches they had when they were fighting for the belt. But I'll talk about that match a little bit on my next show. I'll try to get on this week and do it. Facebook.com/castofthechampions, and go to my Twitter, Mike Spiesman, all one word. If you don't know how to spell it, my name is on this as the author of this podcast, so go in there. Like I said, I just like to fuck with people. That's all I do, is go in there and just rip celebrities. And sometimes I get shout back. I got one back from Sid last week during the match, how they kept acknowledging all these champions. I'm like, they need to acknowledge Sid as a great champion. I like Sid. You know, a little cheap, got a little thing back from him and said, thanks. So whatever it is. And check out the Nitrocast. Good listen there, okay? So with that being said, one more thing too. Jeez, about to forget. I picked Pantera this week and Walk, because it's one of the best guitar riffs. I would have done a show last week. It would have been closer, but it was the anniversary of the death of Dimebag Darrell, and of course, and John Lennon too. You know, I said I'm a big music fan, and that's why I picked this show this week. I haven't done a show, but why I picked this music. So that's Cast the Champions episode 2. Y'all take it easy, and I will talk to you on the flip side. Laters.